Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Kicking off the show this morning, Montana Attorney General Tim Fox, our guest on the phone. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. We've got a really good show today. I'm excited. And, you know, you have to kick it off. You set the tone here, Tim.
Well, I understand that when I was visiting with you off the mic, you said you were going to be talking with folks from Helena Food Share, and I can't top that. That's a great organization, a necessary organization. I've been happy in the past to donate to those folks, and I hope your listeners will pay attention.
Well, that's why they're the closer. Yeah, you're the opening
the closer,
act.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to stack it right.
Yeah, I've been upstaged already.
Well, you've made some pretty big moves here recently. I mean, one of them, you filed a lawsuit against a pair of distributors of narcotic opioids. Can you explain what's happening there and sort of what led you to that decision? Because that's a big deal.
Sure. You know, in the whole chain and scheme of things, opioid prescription drugs have really been a problem in recent years. And there's a lot of folks that have contributed to that. As you know, the manufacturers of those drugs, I've sued some of them, Purdue Pharma, because they've misled consumers about the efficacy, and they've said there's no danger in using these opioid-based drugs. In fact, we learned that that's not the case. But more recently, the state of Montana now has sued a couple of distributors of prescription drugs, McKesson and Cardinal. A little known fact is that when pharmacies and physicians order drugs, they don't order them straight from the manufacturers because there's so many different manufacturers, so many drugs. They go through a middleman, essentially, and it's a distributor. And under state and federal law, when a distributor sees an order for opioid-based prescription drugs like OxyContin, if there's an extraordinary order, a large one, or over the course of time, if one pharmacy or doctor is ordering way too much of these drugs, they're supposed to report that to state regulators. And they were not doing that, driven by their greed, essentially, for the almighty dollar. They were not reporting these extraordinary orders of opioid-based drugs. And we found that out. And one of the ways we found that out is that they've actually, these distributors, McKesson and Cardinal, have been sued by other states and by the federal government. They've paid millions of dollars in settlement, agreeing that, in fact, they violated the law. And they've done that in Montana as well. That's our allegation in our complaint. And so not only are we seeking damages, but more importantly, we want to change the behavior of these huge, huge, multi-billion dollar companies to get them to comply with state law and take them to task for their contribution in harming our citizens.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox, our guest this morning. And Tim, I guess, are there any definitions when it comes to suspiciously large? Or is that one of those I know it when I see it kind of deals?
No, there's actually some very, and I can't tell you what they are here today, but sure, there are some very specific parameters in state law concerning these issues. And, you know, relatively speaking, it's easy to follow. And what we've learned through investigations over the course of time is that basically these companies ignored that. And in fact, there's even email chains of saying, listen, you know, go ahead and fill that order. It's not a problem, et cetera, et cetera. Some very egregious behavior, just ignoring the law. And, you know, that not only is that unfortunate, but it's impacted the lives of real Montanans. Who have, you know, had these problems with substance use disorders. And these companies have, you know, they're need to be held accountable.
Well, and not one to simply focus on one thing at a time. You've got to keep yourself busy. And so you've got another, you got something else. Big news, Washington's move to keep coal out of their ports still going. Last month, you and your counterpart in Wyoming, you guys followed a motion, right?
Yeah, so it's like a lawsuit. When one state sues another state, and alleges a violation of the United States Constitution, the original jurisdiction is in the Supreme Court of the United States. So we filed a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint, which is just a lawsuit with the Supreme Court, with Wyoming, against the state of Washington. And the basis for that is the state of Washington has denied the issuance of a permit to expand a coal port in the state of Washington. And what we learned was that agency that was responsible for issuing that permit was going to do one thing. And then when Governor Inslee, who has publicly announced that he's going to stop all coal exportation to Asia and other places, his administration reversed the decision of the agency and told him to deny the permit with prejudice, meaning it couldn't be renewed or changed or altered and reapplied. And basically they did that because of their political basis against carbon-based fuels. And, oh, by the way, the founders of our nation put a clause in the U.S. Constitution called the Commerce Clause, recognizing that port states like Washington can't pick winners and losers with respect to commodities shipped out of landlocked states like Montana and Wyoming. So we're looking forward to the outcome of this case and hope that the United States Supreme Court will take it up.
So this bypasses lower courts. You don't have to sort of ladder, you know, step ladder your way up. This just goes straight to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So, and it's an interesting process because, you know, the nine justices of the Supreme Court, they're not like trial lawyers, if you will. They might are trial courts. And so they will, if they take this up, they'll order the state of Washington to respond. And if they take it up, they'll order the parties to engage in essentially what is a trial. They will appoint a special master, they call it, which is someone with expertise in the area of, in this case, Commerce Clause law, could be a law professor or someone else. And that person will act as a judge, and they'll try this case. We'll have discovery and motions and all the things you normally would see in, a federal district court. It's just that we don't have to start there. We go straight to the United States Supreme Court.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox is our guest this morning. And when it comes to the motion filed against the state of Washington, what are the chances that the court takes this up? Because you filed the motion, but that doesn't mean, okay, now we're on the docket. They have to then decide whether to take this. So what are our chances that they actually do that?
Well, I think they're pretty good. I mean, we don't file lawsuits in the United States Supreme Court or anywhere else for that matter without good cause. And there was some litigation that was going on in the state of Washington. The permittee that was trying to get the expansion of this coal port filed a lawsuit along with the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad and some others. We engaged in that lawsuit just as a friend of the court. And we were then privy to the discovery, the other information that was obtained from the state of Washington about their actions and what they did. And as we learned more and more, we realized that actually this was a violation of the United States Constitution. And that's why we ultimately filed this lawsuit with the state of Wyoming. And it's good to have a neighbor like Wyoming who understands the importance of these issues, you know, not only to our economy, because we want to be able to mine the coal, but more importantly, to the rule of law and the Constitution. You know, these things matter.
Yeah, and Wyoming, as you point out, I mean, they've got a lot of coal in that Powder River Basin. That's a lot of jobs on the line, a lot of commerce. So we'll keep an eye on that. Before we run out of time and we have to let you go, I want to at least mention Safer Internet Day was yesterday. One of the things you're involved with in your office, of course, personal security when it comes to our information, our money, that sort of thing. This is something that impacts an awful lot of Montanans.
Yeah, more and more. And the internet is a great tool. Certainly you can Google search, you can be in touch with your friends and family, all these different things. But we just need to be aware of the fact that these scammers and fraud artists are out there working real hard to bilk you out of your hard-earned cash and property and to steal your private data. And so we're just encouraging people to take care, know who you're dealing with on the internet, take advantage of privacy settings for your social media accounts and other things. Think before you share any information over the internet, and you can report dangerous behavior to the Office of Consumer Protection. It's a free service that's provided by our office, and you can call 800-481-6896 or Google Montana Office of Consumer Protection. We have investigators and lawyers, and there's a lot of free information on there on how to protect yourself. So we're just encouraging Montanans to take these steps, guard your personal information, be careful over the internet, and if, in fact, you do suspect that you've been a victim of fraud or a scam, use this free service at the Montana Office of Consumer Protection.
Yeah, the internet, as you point out, I mean, it's an incredible tool, but also if you sort of step back and look at this thing objectively, it can be a scary, a dangerous place, particularly for our kids. And I know that's another aspect of this day of just recognition, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we've beefed up the resources here at the Montana Department of Justice. We have a new position in our Division of Criminal Investigation that is an investigator for computer and internet crime. And as I said, the Office of Consumer Protection works hard on this. We have a cybercrime unit in the DCI, and we work with the FBI and others. And so there are resources out there. We just need to hear from Montanans if they suspect that they've fallen victim. Or, you know, we also like folks to report the latest scam or fraud attempt that they hear, you know, whether it's a phone call or something over the internet that may be something new, and we can educate others on how to protect themselves.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox, our guest this morning. Sir, I appreciate you taking the time. I think you're on the schedule with Tom Schultz here later this morning, aren't you?
That's right. You know, we're trying to make the rounds and talking about these important issues and taking care of protecting Montanans and getting them educated and informed. And best job I've ever had. Wish I could keep it.
Well, if you want to hear more from Attorney General Tim Fox coming up shortly after 9, he's going to be on again. We're running him through the radio row. He's going to be on Voices of Montana with Tom. Tell Tom hi for me.
I will do it. Thanks a lot, Troy.
Stick around. We've got Helena Food Share and Walmart coming up right after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning, and we've got a good finish to the show today. As promised, Liz Harrison, Scott Patton, and Stacey Summers here. They're finishing out the show. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good,
doing
thanks.
Great. I appreciate you hanging out, you kind of waiting through Tim there, but I think you got everybody set up. Everybody's ready to listen now.
We're ready to talk.
Maybe run down the line, just introduce yourself to the folks a little bit. You guys are very busy people.
Yeah, I'm Liz from Helena Food Share, and I work on the fundraising aspect of things, which is why I'm so glad today to be here with my friends at Walmart. And, you know, Helena Food Share have been around for 30 years, helping feed the people. And as I like to say, it takes a village to take care of a village. So these folks here today are part of the village.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Scott Patton. I'm the store manager here at our local Walmart store.
Yeah, Scott's been in before.
I'm Stacey Summer, and I do community engagement out at Walmart, whether that's volunteers or food drives.
Yeah, Stacey, you are busy. You've been in, too.
Absolutely.
You are incredibly busy.
Yeah.
You just don't know when to stop doing stuff.
It takes a village.
Well,
it takes
a village. I'm glad that you don't know when to stop, because it's fantastic for our community. And Helena Food Share is obviously a fantastic organization. They help so many in our community. Stacey, I mean, that's got to be why you're so happy to be involved.
Oh, absolutely. And just looking at the children, we've got this peanut butter drive coming up, mm-hmm. and it's just such an expensive commodity for Food Share to buy right out. So anything our community can do to really help out such a basic need.
Yeah. So I guess, Liz, tell us about it. First, let's heap some praise on Walmart a little bit, because they do a lot of stuff to help out nonprofits in our community. When there's different drives, different events, Scott's the first one to raise his hand and say, hey, I'll help him. And Scott and Eric out at Safeway, between you guys, what you guys do in our community for, I mean, people look at, oh, that's another big box. It's just a store. And between Walmart and Safeway, you guys do so much in our community. Heap some praise on them, Liz.
You know,
they're here. They can't stop you.
They can't go anywhere. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that's the hallmark of what makes Helena Food Share so lovely to work for is that our community really does care. People care that our kids are hungry, that our seniors are hungry, that our veterans are hungry. This is not a guess. It's a fact. And in fact, it's 1 in 7 Helenans and 1 in 5 kids in our own backyard sometimes don't know where they're going to get enough to eat. And the truth is, even if we were a billion-dollar company, we'd still need support. You know, 98% of the revenue that comes into our organization is through donations right here at town, 98%. So really, this is a community effort. And our friends at Walmart and, like you said, at Safeway and lots of other businesses in town take this seriously. And I was just chatting with them before we came on air about a drive they did for coffee at mm-hmm. the VA. Now, how can it be that somebody doesn't have enough coffee? Good Lord, isn't that like the staple of life? Walmart got behind this and took care of those folks for a whole year, I believe. A year's worth of coffee.
Yeah, I don't remember the final number of cans of coffee, but it was...
It's 1,346 cans of coffee,
yeah,
that our customers purchased for the VA hospital. So absolutely amazing.
Well, and that's the thing that I love about the Walmart partnership here is that they're willing to do it, but then it allows their customers, our family in the community, to come in and purchase the peanut butter, all different sizes, I hear.
Absolutely.
So, you know, from the really honking ones to the smaller ones, and then get them to Food Share.
Yeah. Nice. We're talking this morning with Liz Harrison. She's from Food Share. We've also got Scott Patton and Stacey Summer here from Walmart. And we've been talking about it. There is a drive coming up. We did the coffee. You guys were phenomenal. I know a lot of our listeners were helping out with that. So we're asking you to do it again. This thing is about the peanut butter. Who doesn't love peanut butter? And this, Liz, as you said, this is expensive.
It is. Peanut butter is one of the more expensive, high carbohydrate, high protein foods that a person who is in need of food can get. It can solve a lot of hunger problems, but it's often hard to afford. So when places like Walmart are saying, okay, we're going to push this through our customers, we're going to push this through our store, we're going to be able to have God knows how many pounds. You said we were hoping for a goal here, weren't we?
We are looking for 2,000 cans of peanut butter. And we're running a special on this peanut butter. We're going to take a loss in every single can that goes out the front door. So we're donating a portion of every sale that goes out the front door. We'll also have jelly on site if you want to purchase that. You can do it at the check stand, or you can just pick up whatever brand you prefer and leave it as you leave the store.
Now, I have to say, 2,000 jars of peanut butter? Come on. That's nothing. Let's do it.
Liz wants to set that bar really high. So what does this look like? When does it start? What are sort of the nuts and bolts, Scott?
This actually is going to start off kickoff tomorrow.
Okay.
So, you know, Valentine's Day, let's just spread the love across the community here. And it's going to run all the way until next Friday, so the next 7 days.
Okay. And people can come in. Is there going to be like a table, or is there something? How do they know what to do?
Absolutely. I mean, as you enter the store, we'll have some associates up there, participants from the community. We'll have the peanut butter front and center so they can pick up a jar on their way through. And, you know, as they make the purchase, they can leave it with a cashier on the way out of the store, and we'll collect it. And at the end of the week, we'll have the food bank down, and we'll help them get it loaded up.
Fantastic. And if people want, my guess is they can just drop off some cash or a check too, right? And say, hey, use this please to buy the peanut butter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any way they want to make a contribution, we'll make the arrangements for that to happen.
Yeah, it's such a cool event. Scott Patton and Stacy Summer are with Walmart. Liz Harrison is with Helena Food Share. And you mentioned, Liz, that 98% of your support of what you can do comes from Helena. That's double-sided coin, right? I mean, because you look at it on one side, that can be kind of scary, right? I mean, yeah. Knowing that, look, at this is it. I mean, we depend on the community, and if it doesn't pull through, then we're done. We can't do what we do. But then on the other side of that, like you said, every time a nonprofit needs something here, Helena steps up.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. A couple of times a month, I think, oh my God, what if? Just because I'm a nervous person. But the truth is, we've never had to have a what if. Because even when we get low on something, let's just say we were low on peanut butter, we would call our friends at businesses or communities or churches or other places of worship and say, yikes, we're low on whatever. I mean, I'm thinking of the turkey challenge, right? Where mm-hmm. we got 2,800 turkeys in 7 hours because folks here wanted to let our hungry folks have a turkey dinner for Thanksgiving. So I don't know. I don't ever take it for granted, but I also know how committed this community is, like this example at Walmart with the peanut butter. I mean, people just step up because, you know, I think everybody believes that hunger is a basic, I mean, eating food is a basic human right.
Yeah.
I mean, people need to be fed.
So we're calling it spread the love.
Spread the love.
So we're spreading the love with the peanut butter. That's coming up. Starts tomorrow. Runs, how long's that? Are we running it through next week?
Through next Friday.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, head on over to Walmart and help out. And Food Share, I think we should note also, you guys have a party coming up. Right,
Lord
Liz?
Have mercy. Yes, we
do. We shouldn't get out of this before we mention that, right? It's coming up Tuesday, February 25th. Starts at 5 o'clock. Mardi Gras. This is going to be out at the Blackfoot. They're going to have Mardi Gras Red Ale that they're debuting there. Proceeds from that going to support, is it the Kid Pack program?
Yes, and okay. We are, the wonderful people at Blackfoot do this every year for us with a community partner with Mosaic Architecture. And they basically brew this really wicked cool Red Ale. It's only one time a year. Mm-hmm. It's only at Blackfoot, and it only goes until it's done, and it supports Food Share. So we're very lucky. We're going to have some Cajun food from Murray's. We're going to have some Red Ale. We're going to have some fun and maybe some beads and a mask if you're really lucky.
There you go. And, yeah, you mentioned Murray's Cafe. They're going to have red beans and rice and jambalaya.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with either one, frankly.
I don't think so.
And we're throwing in the Red Ale. So, again, this is coming up at Blackfoot. It's on Tuesday, February 25th at 5 o'clock. And then proceeds from that Red Ale and I assume Murray's as well.
Yes, we'll go to Food Share.
And what is it's going to support the Kid Pack program. Can you explain? We've got about 3 minutes left. Can you explain the Kid Pack program?
Sure. As I mentioned before, 1 in 5 children in our community suffers from hunger. And the Kid Pack program was designed some years ago by a bunch of folks that said, well, kids can get fed during the week through school lunches and breakfasts, but when they go home on the weekend, what happens if there's no food in the house? So they developed a program called Kid Packs, and what happens is a bunch of volunteers every week stand in our warehouse and put together packs of about 7 different food items, high calorie, tasty, yummy fruits, canned fruit and stuff like that. And they send it home with kids who might be at risk of hunger that weekend. Those children are chosen by the teacher, so it's very private. Nobody's waving flags saying, that kid's getting a Kid Pack. Mm-hmm. And they take the food home for the weekend so that they're not hungry. And sometimes, which just really breaks my heart, they'll ask the teacher if they can have 2 or 3 to take home because they're worrying about their siblings or even their parents. So it's a critical, important program to kids. Kids learn better when they're not hungry. They enjoy life more when they're not hungry. I mean, this is we can't mess around with this.
Yeah, and these are not we're not sending them home snacks for them to have while they watch a movie. I mean,
exactly.
This is basic
mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, this is necessary stuff.
Yes,
that we're sending
and
home.
You know, the truth is, as much as we may not want to face it, this is an issue in our community and, of course, across the country as well, that sometimes parents or single moms or single dads just can't make ends meet. And so this Kid Pack program really helps folks make that difference over the weekend.
Yeah. We've got about a minute and a half left. when we're talking from the Walmart angle of this, how great is it to be either Scott or Stacy to be able to be involved in something like this? I mean, you know, you're in the community, you know how important this is to be able to step up as a corporate, you know, organization, you know, the local face of the corporate organization and say, we can help.
Well, it's always it's a great feeling to be able to be a part of it, you know. And I think more importantly, it's our associates and them knowing that these are the types of things that are on their minds every single day. And as they visit with us and share what types of organizations they would like to see us involved in, you know, that we have that ability to go out there and make an impact and to, you know, participate and, you know, to help to bring goods and services to organizations across the community, especially in this instance, you know, Food Share. I mean, Food Share has been, you know, a corporate partner of us for so long. And it means so much to every single community, and especially here in the community that we live in. So these are people that we know, we work with, that we, you know, service every single day. And so it means a lot to us.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. Stacy, thanks for reaching out and letting me know that this thing was going on.
Yeah, thanks for having us in. It's always great to come visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Stacy Summer and Scott Patton with Walmart. We've got Liz Harrison with Helena Food Share. Bruce decided he didn't want to come hang out this morning. So I'm glad because he got to send in Liz, and we got to hang out with Liz this morning. Liz Harrison from Helena Food Share. Go on out to Walmart. Starts tomorrow. And help out Helena Food Share. Get a couple of jars. Buy two, and buy one for yourself because we all need more peanut butter. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.